meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome, TGIM.
Thank God. Tuesday?
Thank God Tuesday.
Oh no, Tuesday.
It's not even, it feels like a Monday.
Not even Monday, it's Tuesday. I thought I was going to, well, if I said Tuesday, well, no, Tuesday, because Friday is F, right?
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, yeah, TGIT, thank God it's Tuesday. Anyway, crazy, crazy day.
It feels like a Monday, right, Father?
It feels like very much like a Monday.
The beginning of the work week.
Wow.
To the holiday.
Crazy. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed Labor Day. It was, the weather was...
It was hot.
Well, it was... Beautiful,
but it wasn't humid at least
earlier.
By the time I got into the confessional, of course.
Oh, it's hot in there.
It's very
the it's heat. Always hot.
The very hot.
And, the heat was on.
From there, right into the mass and the sanctuary is very, very hot. But what did you say?
The heat was on. Literally.
Exactly. But anyway, let's begin with prayer. I'm not going to waste any time here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, whose mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to great worthy human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the witness to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petition, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
All right, TGIT. Thank God it's Tuesday. But it's been a busy,
it's Taco
busy Tuesday.
Tuesday, Father.
Taco Tuesday?
That's
is,
what
it,
they
is that what they say?
Yes.
Taco so where are the tacos?
Why right here in the corner.
Where we get
Noble and...
Oh, yeah, okay.
You gotta bring them.
You're supposed to bring them.
Yeah, I was running late.
Anyway.
In traffic.
Nick, Tony, Christina, how was your Labor Day? Did you work or rest?
Rest.
He probably...
Rest. He had to rest.
We rested.
You rested?
We had doctor's appointments all last week, Father. Yes, and my parents.
The doctors were off on Labor Day.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Sunday's homily, if I could, you know, and just kind of rehash that a bit today. But before that, I had lunch with Father Loya yesterday.
Oh,
really?
That was
how's
nice.
He doing?
Yeah, he's great. Father Loya and Canon Talarico from the Institute
both
of Christ the King.
Very nice
solid.
Priest.
Yeah.
Very solid, yes.
And, of course... Oscar.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in town?
He's taking care of his father for right now.
Oh, okay.
His father's 98 years old.
But he wow. looks great for his age.
He does, yeah. I haven't seen him, but I mean, the last time I saw him, he was in his 90s anyway, yeah. So he looked pretty
still
good then.
Still looked good then, yeah.
He's still...
But, he's 98, so Oscar
wow,
was...
Wow, God bless
so
him.
So he kind of, he arranged the... Mm-hmm. So it was a miracle to get me to go out to eat.
Yeah.
Yes,
you know,
so. That's wonderful.
But we went to... Athenia, I think it's that, in the Greek
oh,
town.
Oh, the Greek, yes.
Yeah, it was really nice. And, it was really nice to be able to be with, not Father Loya is mm-hmm. Byzantine, a Catholic under the Latin Rite, but a Byzantine Catholic.
Father Talarico.
Talarico, Canon Talarico is part of the Institute of Christ the King, and then, of course, I'm who I am. So we're coming from three different perspectives,
yes,
perhaps.
Sure.
But completely on the same page.
Sure.
And so yeah. it's just good to be able to, you know, talk about and kind of rehash,
yes.
not rehash, but kind of, well,
rehash what I'm always hashing, sure. You know, whatever that means.
You support each other. You're on the same page. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, you see what's going on and you, sure. you speculate, you wonder, and how do we navigate through this very disoriented time we're living in, right? And only God knows what the future is going to hold, but we know that the gates of hell shall not prevail. We know that for those who love God, all things work for the good. So it was really nice. And Father Loya, well, they're both. They're super
solid,
intelligent, solid and
well,
intelligent.
Well, just like yourself, Father.
Well, I don't put myself in their category.
No,
but
we say it as well. Your
you can say it, you know, so you make massage my ego, you know. but they really. It's like being in the presence of. Two geniuses, you know, and
scholars.
Yeah. It's really quite a nice conversation we had. But agree, we certainly agree on one thing, that the major crisis is fatherhood and manhood. That's the number one crisis.
Always gets ignored.
People can argue, always completely. Yeah, people argue that, but it really is. A crisis. We've talked about it. Actually, this coming Sunday is, and I'm going back to where I was 3 years ago, the reading on the watchman, you know, and we've really got to be on the watch, looking out into the horizon, see what's coming or what's already upon us. It's kind of cosmic upheaval. So, and I realize, you know, that I think much more desperate than. Either one of those two priests, you know, Father Canon Tallarico, his father, but he's they call him Canon because they're Canon. What the hell they call that? The Institute of Christ the King is they're Canon Seculars as opposed to Canon Regulars, which are the canons at the St. John Cantus. So the canons at St. John Cantus are. Religious, they take vows, whereas the canons, the secular canons or canon seculars, they don't take vows. I mean, they certainly take the promise of celibacy, and they have to live, but they don't live in necessarily in community. They have small communities, but they go out, and whereas the canons, St. John Cantus, the canons of St. John Cantus, are. Religious community, and they really value and safeguard their life in common. This common prayer. So they have much bigger houses, and these are both growing communities. So
I didn't know that, Father. I just learned something new today.
Yeah, I hope I'm saying that
no,
right.
No, it makes sense. I didn't know that
because I had asked Canon Tallarico why. Sure. He's addressed as canon, yet the canons at St. John Cantus are. Addressed
father.
As fathers or brothers.
Yes.
And he tried to explain that to me, the difference.
Okay.
So it's a kind of news to me. Mm-hmm. I should have known that, I suppose. But, you know, again, like I said, they're more astute than...
But that's their life. I mean, you know what I'm saying about that? Yeah.
And Father Loya said... the suppression of the extraordinary form and the stuff going on in the Latin Rite Catholic, Roman Catholic, has really driven a lot of people into the Byzantine Church.
Yeah. I can imagine.
He said, very sad stories. You know, people that are feel very hurt by what's happened.
It's like a slap in the face, Father.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, which brings me back to I got the wrong letter. Okay.
And I would go upstairs, but forget it. Take forever.
Let me go upstairs. Oh, no, I don't
know. Let me see if I can find it.
Go up the stairs.
But that's the way
it goes. That's interesting. Now, see, that's how I've been running around all morning. But, let me just read this. We'll just kind of see what we can go with this. This is, did I read this before? This letter from Lucia to a priest.
No.
I don't think so.
No, you haven't.
This is very interesting.
And even if you did, we need to hear it again.
Sure,
yeah.
This was taken from a letter saying, Sister Lucia de Santos, she was one of the visionaries at Fatima, the only one who lived a long life. The other two, Francesco and...
Jacinta.
Yes, Jacinta, both died. They actually died in the Spanish flu pandemic.
They
it was very shortly after the apparitions. And our lady said that they would indeed be taken. So, but anyway, so this was a letter that she wrote to her nephew, who was a priest, Father Jose Valinho. And I thought it was, actually, Geraldine sent this to me. I think it was Geraldine Sullivan sent this to me. She says, so this is what she wrote to her nephew, who was a priest. She said, I see from your letter that you are worried about the turmoil and the disorientation of our times. It is sad that so many are allowing themselves to be dominated by the diabolical wave enveloping the world. They are so blind they cannot see their error. The principal truth is that they have abandoned prayer. They turn away from God, and without God, everything is lacking to them. Above all, I recommend that you get close to the tabernacle and pray. In fervent prayer, you will receive the light, strength, and grace you need to sustain you. Guide those under your care with humility and gentleness. Maintain the firmness of truth, always with serenity, justice, and charity. Never consider as wasted the time you spend in prayer. The only important thing for us is to do the will of God, to be where He wants us to be, and to do all that He wants us to do. Without an intense prayer life, this is not possible. Let time be lacking for everything else, but never for prayer. We receive our strength from God alone, and we must draw close to Him through prayer. I am convinced that the principal cause of evil in the world today and the falling away of so many consecrated souls is the lack of union with God in prayer. See that you take everything in calmness and with great confidence in God, for He will do for us what we ourselves cannot do. He will supply our insufficiency. Okay, so having read that, mm-hmm. I feel like she's speaking right to me. you know, don't be dominated by the diabolical wave enveloping the world. Didn't I begin the show by saying I'm desperate?
You did.
Unlike Father Loya and Canon Tallarico, who seemed very, very calm and joyful, and I'm kind of, you know, this, you know, how do we fight this fight? You know, what do we do? Where do we go?
But it was good that you went out with them because they were encouraging you. We need to encourage right. each other and support right. each other on the journey.
Yeah, I think part of the issue for me mm-hmm. is just inundated with, because I have to, I don't know about Father Loya. I mean, we're all dealing with people, but we're here. I mean, we have so many masses, and we're dealing with so many different, you know, the Polish, the mm-hmm. Spanish, and the English.
Different
speaking
cultures.
Speaking communities, cultures, and we have a school.
And then you have the school.
And so I think it, you know, I think the, I'm not going to, I don't want to, I'm just going to state that I think what is a little bit different mm-hmm. and what provokes in me a sense of desperation at times is that we're inundated with so many different things. And being here 33 years, you know, so I've got a long history here, and people come back, you know, even over the weekend we had weddings, huge weddings, people who normally aren't here, but they have history with the parish. But apart from that, it's just the I've seen over these 33 years, you know, very significant changes. And so one of the things that I and because we have a school, and I'm very concerned about the school, because I really believe that in this time in which you're living, in which we're living, because of the, and again, I heard this, you know, and maybe I listened to too much, like Father Canon Tallarico said, he says, I really stay away from the news and all that. I just feel I have a responsibility to know what's going on in the world,
yeah,
what's going on in the church and all that. I'm not living in a bubble over here, not that he is or anybody else is, but I have to be aware because of what I, because what people bring to me.
Yes.
What they bring to me. And so
what the people are dealing with the absolutely. What we're dealing out there.
Yeah. And so, you know, and having a school, I'm really trying to be very, very proactive. And I'll bring this up later, not today, but as we move along, we got to get these kids into the Catholic school. You know, unfortunately, we don't have government support.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, you know, there's like in our school, it's $7,200 or $7,300 a year per student. Which is much lower than many schools, but still, that's a lot of money. And when you're dealing with a lot of people who can't afford the education in a Catholic school, where we can form holistically the life of a child without the grounded in our faith, without the without inculcating the ideologies of a radically secularized society, which is really impacting young people in a very, very powerful way. They're just I keep using now this word, the tyranny of noise, quote unquote, because I heard that I read that in an article about a month ago, and it just stayed with me because that kind of fits, you know, the whole call of Our Lady to open the doors of the parish at the cacophony, which means rude noise, of the world not shout into silence the voice of the living God. But we've got to make our schools accessible to those who cannot otherwise afford Catholic education. If we're truly Catholic, teaching what the Church teaches, and our schools are very intentional insofar as they're grounded in God, the Trinitarian God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's fully revealed himself in Jesus Christ. And I have to say, you know, like last year, we did some really beautiful things, and this year I intend to, as one of the things on my to-do list today, is to get to the school and get the kids over here, because I want to have classes, especially with the eighth graders, the upper grades, to have classes where they can come here to the rectory and I can have classes with them. But also, you know, that we pray, and God is our foundation, our center. Everything is in reference to Christ. It's amazing how that really affects the whole curriculum of a school, and how we do, in fact, mold the lives of these children, so that even if they come from families that don't practice the faith, at least we're planting the seeds and molding the character of our students as we're really up against the spirit of the world. You know, we're under the dominion of Christ, and we pray for that we be infused with the very spirit of Christ Jesus. So it's really... because, as I say, you know, you listen to parents, even, you know, our own parents who are practicing, who do go to confession and go to Mass, not only on the weekends, but on Sundays, but even sometimes on the weekdays. There's a number of families that do come on a regular basis, but they're trying to navigate through this world we're living in as well. And it's always been the case, but, I mean... We're dealing with, we're in unprecedented times. It really is a diabolical disorientation, which is something that, speaking of Sister Lucia, she spoke about that in her writings or in interviews, or I don't know if it was that Our Lady revealed this to her, but yeah, the reminder, reminding us that we've got to... not worry so much about the turmoil and the disorientation of our times. I mean, there's cause for fear, cause for worry. One has to be. If you're a parent, you have to worry because you're bearing, you're carrying in within yourselves your children, and I think any parent who sees what's going on in the society worries about the child. And you know, when people come to me, I always tell them, you know, you've got to think eternity. You got to peer into eternity, because you do your part, you do the best you can, and you know, at the end of the day, you know, the children, as they come of age, They're going to make decisions. They may make bad decisions, but you've laid the foundation. And I always believe that part of the part of adulthood is trying to regain, to go back to the innocence of our childhood. Unfortunately, what's happened today is that innocence is being chipped away. I started to say this, but listening to the radio this morning as I'm exercising, doing rebounding exercise, and I listen to the talk radio. It's kind of political in nature, and the same stuff that they're trying to bring into the schools. And they had a pastor, I forgot where it was, either in Oklahoma or in Florida, a pastor reading from a book that is available to the students in middle school. And it's just pornographic. And as he's reading from the book, the school board, head of the school board, there was a woman who was just shouting him down and telling him, you know, I don't permit you to read this. You can't read it. And he just kept going. He was a pastor, an African-American pastor. Mm-hmm. And it finally had him taken out. But so how is it that he can't bring before the school board, you know, the content of a book that is available to middle school students in a public school? They can have access to this, but he can't read very explicitly what's written in that book that is very pornographic. And they shout him out of the
meeting.
The meeting. He has no voice because he
has no right to speak.
Does that make any sense whatsoever?
It says it all.
People don't understand. And the sad thing about this is I really believe it's a small group that's doing this, but this is going to affect everybody. And we're kind of playing this game today where it's like one side against the other, and it's not. It's just, I look at it as good against bad. That's what I see it as.
I concur with that.
I mean, there's a time and place for this, but it's not in middle school or grade school for kids to be seeing this or hearing this.
I just heard this morning on the same program, you know, that there's a, this is in Oklahoma, I believe, the principal of a grade school was convicted of child pornography.
Yeah.
And he's, this is back in the early 2000s, but he's now a principal. He was a teacher at that point. Now he's principal of a grade school. Figure that out.
The sad thing is in, gosh, I hate even saying this, the laws, either people are taking liberty with laws and deciding what they think the law means, and they're bending it for one side but not for the other. And there are people that are in charge of our kids that are being allowed this. And yeah. I'm kind of thankful I don't have a child, because if I had kids, you'd be hauling me off to jail too, because this is just, I just, like you, I feel for all these parents. That it's becoming to a point where they're not allowed to speak. In the United States of America, they're not, the parents, allowed to speak.
Right, yeah.
This is just...
It's crazy. You know what? We're going to take a break, and I'm going to disappear. I'm going to see if I can find that letter or that the homily. It's a letter homily, but I want to kind of rehash it, I guess. I want to go back to it because... you know, we have a little bit more time to expound on mm-hmm. on things, and I just think that there were some good points made, and it's going back to also the quote of St. Pope Pius X when he was in the papacy from 1903 to 1914. At some point during that time, this was a quote from him, and it was really very prophetic, because things move in a very slow way. Well, they did. But we're all of a sudden, because now the technology and internet and all this, we have, again, the tyranny of noise, the infiltration of all this dark stuff that is accelerating the trajectory away from God and morality and principles and what is necessary for the proper ordering of society, certainly the commandments of God and values, principles, and the family, marriage, and the like. See what we no longer have in which was what would characterize society in the past is you had communities, and those communities were somewhat homogeneous. Like this community was Polish. Mm-hmm. Then it became Spanish, Hispanic, Mexican, Latino. Hispanic, Latino, what is it's either one, right? It doesn't, I always get confused.
It's a little complicated.
What is politically correct?
Latino.
Latino, yeah. If you say Hispanic, what
Hispanic,
is
Hispanic, some people have an issue with Hispanic.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, it gets a little words. Complicated.
Because I've been Latino. Doing a lot of correspondence, and I've been sure. using the word, okay, Latino slash Latino. Hispanic. I didn't, because I don't know what is, you know, everybody, you have to be so sensitive to all these
some
issues.
People have, they have an issue with the Española, the Spaniards, because of
it.
The stuff that happened.
It?
Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
But in any case, what was a point that I was going to make?
That it was a homogeneous.
Yeah, so yeah. you had communities were tended to be homogeneous, and so you had a common faith, a common ethnicity, and then of course let's speak about Catholic communities, because Chicago was made up of all these huge Catholic communities. This was Polish. Down the street was the Germans, and it was the Italians. Farther down Noble Street, so, and then of course everything began to change when they brought the expressway in, and people began to move northwest down Milwaukee, up Milwaukee, into Niles and the suburbs and all that, and it broke up the communities. And the new immigration came in, and when I came here, it was, again for the most part, about 85. You'd say probably 85% recent immigrants,
yes.
And so you had an ethnicity, ethnic identity. Language, common language, common faith. And so we were able to do a lot, and people kind of, even though we had problems, no, there's no perfect family, there's no perfect community, so there's always, but you had your faith to lean into. And so there was this, again, your faith was your point of reference, mm-hmm. Christ was your personal reference to correct any wrongdoing, that was generally understood, right? And in Spanish, it would say, you know, don't, no, como decir, no andan sin vergüenza, right? Don't walk without
like
shame.
There's like no shame. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't walk without shame. And that you represent your community. Mm-hmm. You represent your faith. You represent your family.
And the church. And the church was the center of it.
Center was the
life.
Center. Yeah.
yeah.
And that was, you remember growing sure. up, that was the case. See, all that is completely changed,
yes,
completely changed
definitely.
All over the place. Certainly in the urban areas, big cities and all that. But and then with the advent of internet and social media, then everybody's connected, and yet
you're so far away.
Nobody's connected.
Yes.
We have the crisis of loneliness. So it's we're really where we've got this this challenge before us, and it's how to break through that, and it really boils down to keeping the faith. If God isn't our point of reference, and it has to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, fully revealed in Jesus Christ and the Decalogue, then you know we're not going to know how to properly do social justice. What have we created? The victimization
mm-hmm.
of individuals or peoples or whatever. It's like it's almost a no-win situation. It's a losing battle.
Mm-hmm.
Because if God isn't the point of reference, so there's justice and mercy. But humility and acknowledging that, you know, I have to see way beyond myself.
Yeah.
And I got to think of what is the greater good for the whole of society in the present and into the future. But we don't seem to have that we've lost increasingly the capacity to see beyond ourselves well into the future. Or those who do are looking into a purely humanistic, utopian type future that brings with it a certain tyranny that basically cancels out or exterminates anybody who doesn't, who becomes the thorn in the side or the conscience of the people, which is why Jesus was crucified. He was taken by force because he was the conscience of the people. He was a thorn in their side. He was calling them to the truth of the law written into their hearts, a natural law that requires of us all loving sacrifice. That I think of the two great commandments, love the Lord your God with all your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So the first commandment, yes, love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit. The second is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. God first, neighbor second, you third, right? Mm-hmm. So even though it's one commandment, and it's a summation of the Ten Commandments, so it doesn't cancel out the Ten Commandments. It's a summation of the Ten Commandments, the first three of those commandments referring to our relationship, right relationship with God, and the other seven commandments are right relationship one with another. But you take God out of the picture, and you create the means by which false gods are so let me just say this. I've said it many times, but we're going through this great apostasy, which Pope Pius X, St. Pope Pius X, spoke about in the early 20th century. We're going, and Our Lady, in her apparitions, it's interesting that his papacy preceded the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima, but the spreading of error, atheism, which becomes systemic atheism, systemic meaning that the very social structure of a society is put into place in the absence of God, and what does that take us? But it takes us, it brings us into the realm of tyranny, and the elimination of those who get in the way of a utopian worldview that is political and materialistic, that really does not value the human person. It is diabolical. Anyway, then we'll take a break. I lost my clock over here, but we're going to take a break, and I'm going to see if I can find that. I think it's on my desk, and then we'll be back, and we'll unpack that, go back to the readings this past Sunday. All right, everybody, stay with us. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
It is amazing to be living in a post-Roe v. Wade America, but our country racked up a body count of tens of millions under Roe. And still today, the body count continues to rise, and the vast majority of these babies never received a proper burial. That's what the 11th annual National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children is all about. On Saturday, September 9th, on this special day, the Pro-Life Action League visits the burial places of aborted children at other memorials put up in their honor. And we solemnly pray for God to heal the deep wounds of abortion in our society. To find your nearest day of remembrance service, visit prolifeactionleague.org and click on the tile that says National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children 2023. The National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children, Saturday, September 9th.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link. St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststandschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus-Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststandschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus-Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus-Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony. Winds of Change. Thank God. What was it? TGIT.
Yeah.
Thank God it's Tuesday. Tony, Christina, and Nicholas. Over there. Okay, so here we go. I just ran up and down the stairs. Found it. This is what happens when you're multitasking. You know, yeah. You think you've. Sometimes I've gone into the church and I have my homily and I'm thinking I've got the English and I find I have the Spanish. You know, so. But
you're good with languages, Father. You could go back.
I'm not good with languages. I say I can't even speak English, you know.
You speak a Spanish?
I speak a Spanish. I speak a little bit of a Polish.
An Italian.
Italiano. No, I'm a student of languages, but I can't even speak English well. So I was talking to Diana. I love Diana. And she said, you're too hard on yourself, Father. You're too hard on yourself. She's great. She's fun. I say they should make a sitcom with her because she is so funny. You know who I'm talking about.
I know.
Yeah. She is
neighborhood.
Completely, totally neighborhood.
Yeah.
I just love to listen to her to talk, you know, as she speaks, but just great. Anyway, and when I say that, I mean that in a very good way.
Well, Tony, has your neighborhood.
When you're in the neighborhood,
You're in the neighborhood. You're in your neighborhood as well.
I try to put my neighborhood aside, but
you can't take it out of you.
So, yep.
By the way, I saw our buddy Hector.
Oh, are you
serious?
Yes,
he was. I saw him.
Yeah, he was here.
He was visiting. Right. Texas.
Was it his father's birthday? I don't remember, but he listens to us in Texas.
Yeah. Yes, he did say.
He's a grandfather, by the way.
Of course he is.
Is he a grandfather?
Yes.
He's a grandfather.
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So young.
Yeah. Well, he's young, but the time is just getting away from us, I swear.
Yes.
So fast.
Anyway, wow. So if you remember everybody, because I'm sure you do, because you're totally tuned in, but... a few weeks ago, the church celebrated the feast of Pope Pius X, the saint. And as I said in the previous segment, he governed the church from 1903 to 1914. And I had quoted him because I was really enthralled by his words, seemingly prophetic and applicable to our day and our time. And he says, the great movement of apostasy, and you hear me talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
The great movement of apostasy, and nobody can deny it.
Nobody
you cannot.
Can.
Statistically, you cannot deny it, even though many will. The great movement of apostasy being organized, which doesn't mean that there's not good things happening. Mm-hmm. It's just an anawim, a remnant. There's beautiful things happening, and I guess we should talk more about those things too. Yeah. You know, but the great movement of apostasy being organized in every country for the establishment of a one world religion, one world church, which shall have neither dogmas nor hierarchy, neither discipline of the mind for the mind, nor curb for the passions, and which under the pretext of freedom and human dignity would bring back to the world the reign of legalized cunning and force and the oppression of the weak and of all those who toil and suffer. Indeed, the true friends of the people are neither revolutionaries nor innovators. They are traditionalists, meaning those who conserve what has been handed down to us, who hold to the moral and principled discipline of the faith and having faith in Christ Jesus. So based on that, as I was reflecting on the readings for this past Sunday, the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, I was kind of reminded why faithful traditional Catholics today are often treated with derision and reproach, which came out of that first reading. And I say faithful Catholics because just as there are those who want to change the face of the nation, in the same way there are those who want to change the face of the church. And if change means we become holier people who adhere to God's law, honor the proper ordering of life, then this is a great good. We all want that. Unfortunately, derision and reproach are directed at those who uphold God's laws. Their efforts are thwarted by those who would rather rewrite the laws of God or recreate God in the image of fallen man rather than look to a higher standard and join the struggle to live toward that good end. And it is a struggle. It's a spiritual battle. But especially now, as we're confronted with, again, the tyranny of noise and the proliferation of confusion and chaos, and I hear people say this all the time, we must have the courage to exercise our prophetic office against the spirit of the world, because it's our God-given capacity toward right reason, common sense. This is a striking contrast to a society both secular and, in many cases, more and more religious, that lives and acts only on feelings or purely humanistic ideologies. So we heard, you know, from the prophet Jeremiah, which I just love the lament of the prophet Jeremiah, who laments the cost he must pay to obey God and fulfill God's mission to him. He says, because he sits alone in the midst of merrymakers, he cries out to God with these words that well up from his pain of loneliness for having been rejected by others on account of God. And what did he say? He says, you duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. You were too strong for me, and you triumphed. All the day I'm an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me. The word of the Lord has brought me derision and reproach all the day. Jeremiah's mission was to bring people back to God, back to God's law, and restore right worship of God to the temple, because the temple was that was full of abominations, which we saw at the, well, I'm not going to go into specifics here, but anyway, it's happening. The abomination of the deviation from what is central to our worship of God, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So we who strive to live in obedience to God for love of God and love of God's people are challenged by what we hear and see around us, such as what? The breakdown of the family, acceptance of casual sexual relationships. We're bombarded with this. If you just, you know, everywhere you go, everywhere you turn. The acceptance of abortion, the growing acceptance of euthanasia, political, materialistic ideologies force us to conform. Either we conform or they cancel us from the public square, be it secular or ecclesial. And so St. Paul in the second reading urges us, he says, do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. And he pointedly says, by the mercies of God, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Boy, how I would love to have heard those words at the World Youth Day, you know? And I think this is what the young people are really clamoring for. They want to hear the call to go to live to a higher standard. Yes, of course, to live in peace and harmony with others, but that there's something to be said for Jesus Christ, God who came to us in the flesh, who laid down his life, the supreme high priest. He offered himself the Lamb of Sacrifice in order to save us and redeem us, and calls us into a mission. You know, it's just, I mean, do you hear this?
I do.
Do you hear this? And of course, in the gospel, after Jesus prepared his disciples for the impending violence that would befall him on account of truth, Peter, perhaps like us, was caught up in the ideas of his day, and he rebuked Jesus for thinking that Jesus would be so violently rejected. I could say something about that too. My gosh, I've spoken about that, and I was told that this doesn't reflect the mind of the church. But Jesus, rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You're an obstacle to me. You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Thou art a scandal unto me, because thou savorest not the things of God, but the things that are of man. And as the Lord did with Peter, I pray and say, Lord, what do you see? I'm not a psychic, but I'm just saying the fruit of my prayer, as I try to listen with my soul, the ears of my soul. I believe that the Lord will rebuke us as well for failure to cleave to him and his teachings. We have to emphasize more than ever personal responsibility, hard work, disciplined lives, respect for others, the necessity of the nuclear family, holy matrimony, the value of chastity and virginity, and the right worship of God unencumbered by the noise of this world and the age in which we live. Our peace and tranquility have been disturbed. And the very things that I spoke there, the only thing that we hear so often is respect for others. But hard work, personal responsibility, hard work, disciplined lives, the necessity of the nuclear family, holy matrimony, the value of chastity and virginity. Was that spoken about at the World Youth Day?
I don't think so.
Certainly, respect for others, and the right worship of God, unencumbered by the noise of this world. I mean, gosh, the papal mass, the last mass, was preceded by talk about jolting noise and erotic dancing. In preparation, and in the midst of all of these prelates who are walking around preparing for the mass, you've got this circus unfolding. It was very disturbing. Our peace and tranquility have been disturbed. Jesus concluded the gospel with a challenge. He says, "What? Pick up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, lose yourself, for the sake of finding me, and in finding me, you'll find yourselves." And his last words in the Gospel Sunday, "Truly, what profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit one's life unto eternity?" Again, do we hear that?
No.
We don't hear it.
Nope.
And yet these young people are clamoring for, not that we condescend and in a cartoonish way or placating way think that we're speaking on their level, No, they want to be called to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Every human person struggles with something or another, but we work together toward the interior peace, joy, and freedom that comes from God alone. And again, I can't but emphasize that God's greatest attribute is mercy. But he is not permissive, not a permissive God. I would love that the young people hear that as well. God is not permissive. You know, when the Holy Father said, everyone, 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 nobody's excluded. Jesus died for all of us. But, you know, again, I've mentioned this before, inclusivity is what we desire. But if you choose not to follow Jesus, and I mean, he says, if you keep my commandments, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you belong to me, the world will not accept you as its own. And it will be a lonely walk, but that we have each other. And there will be the lament of Jeremiah, who sits in the midst of merrymakers, because what? He said yes to the will of God. And for a moment there, he says, I've been duped. You duped me. You were too strong for me. And I will not speak in your name no longer. But then, well, let me go on here, because I've got it here. So, God's greatest attribute is mercy, but he's not permissive. He's rather demanding in what he is asking of us. And his demands are not merely demands for God's entertainment. They benefit us in producing genuine freedom. And Scripture bears witness to this truth, and for this Jesus was taken by force. So like Jeremiah, by way of conclusion, we're tempted to walk away in these days from the struggle, maybe some are, from the struggle and sufferings that come in to us in defense of our faith. But the Holy Spirit stirs within us if we're disposed in humility. And like Jeremiah, we may be tempted to say, I will not speak in God's name no more, but be in a faith, be in people of faith like Jeremiah. And I love this, the Spirit burns within us, becomes like fire burning in our hearts, imprisoned in our bones. We grow weary holding it in. We cannot endure it. We hold to the truth. We lean into Christ. We defend the faith in deference to the Lord. So you see, I think we can relate to the prophet Jeremiah, because we are walking a lonely walk. We are foreigners in a strange land. We are, unless we compromise, cave to the spirit of the world, we're pushed to the fringe. And so it's not easy. And I hear this from people all the time. But yes, you know, but I say I'm not going to speak in his name no more, but that spirit burns within me, becomes like a fire burning, imprisoned in our bones. I cannot hold it in. I cannot endure it. I must speak in his name. We hold to the truth, lean into Christ, defend the faith in deference to the Lord. The bottom line, my friends, we're compelled. Indeed, we have a mission to fulfill. And even though it may be an out-of-season, inconvenient time for faithful Catholics, we will not be silent. We cannot be silent. But we persevere to the good end that comes to those who love God and keep his commandments, period. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us on this TGIT,
Tuesday.
This Good Tuesday. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace. Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the
shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time.